This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What you gonna do with all that junk, all that chunk inside your trunk? I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely little lumps. Check it out, I drive these brothers crazy. I do it on the daily, they treat me really nicely. They buy me all these ices, Dolce and Gabbana, Fendi and Madonna. Karen, they be sharing all their money, got me wearing fly gear, but I ain't asking. They say they love my ass in seven jeans, true religions. I say no, but they keep giving, so I keep on taking. And no, ain't I taking. We can't keep on dating, now keep on demonstrating.
Oh, we got British there. Incredible. At the end.
Yeah.
Incredible. Oh,
okay. Keep on demonstrating. It's because I have a really important guest on my show today. And to get us in the mood, it's the year 2012. And we're going to be referencing, this list is called the 13 biggest pop culture moments of 2012, according to The Week. Do we know what this source is?
No, even better.
Never.
Great. First and foremost, Linsanity takes over the NBA. My guest absolutely does not know who Jeremy Lin is.
Nope.
He was a backup point guard.
What's a backup point guard?
Good question. He was an important NBA player who played for the Knicks. Okay.
Oh, I know who the Knicks are.
And everyone was saying it's Linsanity because... you know, it was insane.
He was doing so well.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's great. Good
sometimes,
for him.
Sometimes I will say that's Linsane.
Wow, so it's really stuck with you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
It really has.
I'm really happy that it's stuck with you for so long.
Thank you. Number two, Whitney Houston dies.
Ugh,
see, now, this is tough. When The Week, I think, is wrong. I think Whitney Houston dying holds far more cultural impact than Linsanity.
Yeah, it's kind of wild they put that at number two, right?
Yeah, go off.
Sure.
And number three is also kind of throws me for a loop. Encyclopedia Britannica suspends print editions.
Whoa. Is that really a cultural moment?
Yeah, I mean...
this is the first time
here. Yeah. I guess,
what? Wait,
I guess
what?
I guess it was, because I'll tell you why. In a March blog post titled Change It's Okay, Really, the editors of the venerable Encyclopedia Britannica, the massive leather-bound tome seen in libraries and schools since 1768,
wow,
announced that they were discontinuing printed editions. The blog post goes on to promise that the encyclopedia would live on in bigger, more numerous, and more vibrant digital forms, but the end of the 244-year-old institution was yet another harbinger of the death of print.
I mean, that actually, yeah, like putting it like that, like over 200 years of print, like that's, you'd kind of feel like they'd just carry on printing it just for like, even if it was just one.
I know.
Just to keep the streak going.
Totally.
You know?
And I would also just like to point out that on theweek.com, they did spell print with two T's.
Huh.
50 Shades of Grey came out.
Right. Yeah.
The Avengers and The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Came out.
Okay. I'm happy about
Gangnam that. Yep. Style. We're going to get into your Gangnam Style story shortly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
London's Summer Olympics.
Oh, now that truly was like the best time to be. That was like the first time in my entire life where I was like, I'm going to say it really quietly, but I feel kind of proud to be British.
Yeah.
But like the first time, and then it kind of quickly faded after that. But that was such a vibrant summer. Man, that was fun.
Now, this is something that I don't know anything about, but they listed it as number nine. Felix Baumgartner completes world's highest skydive. Now, do we know anything about
that? Oh, yeah. Was
that
the, was that the dude who jumped out of the, like, it was like basically like a spaceship. Like, he's in like a space suit. And then if you've seen the video of this,
no,
you need to watch it. He spins. Like, he starts, like, spinning at one point, and you're like, surely he's dead. Like, it's crazy.
Oh,
he's,
my
like,
God.
Like, going through the atmosphere just spinning. It's really wild.
Well, I guess.
But he's fine, and it was honestly pretty impressive. He's just, like, fully in space when he jumps out of this thing.
Well, you know, to honor my guest today, I'm going to end our pop culture sort of, you know, recap
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
with this. Prince William.
Uh-huh. Heard of him.
And Duchess, right?
Sure.
Princess, Duchess.
Duchess.
Kate Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
Announced they're pregnant.
Ah, baby George was on the way.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that was probably pretty important given that, you know, it was a boy and it turns out to be going to be the future king at some point.
Exactly,
probably.
Some point. There you go.
So he's going to rule over me. It's kind of wild to think about.
And, you know, the question is, where were we when all of this was happening? We were in Haywards Heath.
There we go. Lovely pronunciation.
South London.
South England. Most people do think that England is just London.
No, it's not. It is not. I know it's not. I've spent a lot of time over there.
Sure.
And we are Jasper Cartwright.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is
I
lovely.
I love having people not from the States come on my show to talk about high school because I love, you know, connecting on things that were the same and things that were different.
Different. I completely agree. It's like a very fun little window into like another life, you know, because mm-hmm. like I definitely feel like I have an idea of what like American high school is like.
Sure.
And I truly I don't. It's just like
it's like all informed from movies.
It's all movies. It's all TV shows. But like I guess like sex education maybe now is like a version of that in the UK. But like like one of the first I can think of that's like remotely true. You know what I mean?
Is it true?
Just in the sense that like it's not just like overtly twee. And
right.
Do you know what? Because like all the English versions are like very like Matilda or whatever. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like everyone like a little Tom Brown suit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
with the little like around, like a little satchel.
Yeah, with the satchels and the little
glasses
kind of like,
and messy hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now I'm just thinking
and
about
then lunches in like a little like I don't know
tin.
Like, exactly. Like a little battered tin or like Billy Elliot or something. So I feel like it's the first time that I've seen something on screen where I'm like, oh, that's not like overtly just like cutesy and ooh, look at the British.
What was your school like?
What was my school like? Well, I guess I kind of need to answer this by like straddling two schools because in the UK, we kind of split what you call high school into two, which is secondary.
Yes.
And then college.
Yes.
And college is the 2 years we do before we go to university.
And college happens and college is our junior and senior year.
I believe so. Yes. And then, but that is technically optional in the UK as well. So primary and secondary are like mandatory, and then college is the first one, like university, that becomes optional.
Because you could just be done with school at 16.
Yeah.
And be like, fuck this, I'm gonna go work.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people do. There's a lot of like, especially for like manual jobs, there's like a very big culture of like, you know, apprenticeships and stuff like that. But not like, yeah, like I'd say it's like different to like internships, I think.
Yeah.
Like over here, because it's much more about like, you know, it's like if you're joining
like learning
the labor force or
yeah,
a craft sort of thing. And a lot of the time you can get like your college, I think it's A-levels. Is it A-levels in college? Yeah. You can get your A-levels through doing one of these like types of things, like one of these like work placements. So you can still effectively get the same qualification as if you went to college.
Got it.
Just in like a very specific field. So
was your, you know, like I immediately do think of like uniforms and like,
yep.
But I mean, I do feel like that's across the board in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much most schools will have uniforms.
Cute little jackets.
Yeah. It's horrible. So,
why?
So basically it's like you wear, so I went to an all boys secondary school, which was hell on earth. So
tell me more.
It was basically, we would have to wear black trousers, black shoes, a black jacket with the little, you know, it's called Forest Boys. And then there was Malay's School for Girls, which was just down the road. So they used to be the same school. And then I think it was like back in the like, oh, I want to say like 80s or something. They like split up because.
Really?
I think it was like the head teacher was a woman and she was like, these boys are dragging my girls down. So we're just going to put them in a different school.
True.
Yeah, I think it is statistically that like girls in all girls schools do better and boys do better in mixed schools. So
I wonder why that is.
Girls are just a good influence.
Like, I mean, that is true.
On each other and on boys. But it was an all boys school. We wore blazers. We had little ties. You would wear a different tie depending on what house you were in.
house you were in.
Yeah, yeah. So you had like different colored striped ties.
Like Hogwarts and Raven's It's not
dissimilar. Like, a lot of what's in those books is pretty unoriginal, honestly.
What house were you in?
Oh, God. I think it was based on the house teacher's last name.
What?
So I truly can't tell. I could probably.
Do you remember what color your tie was?
Red. I was in red. I was in like, I think we
it was
used
striped?
To. Striped? Yeah, it was like black, white, and red stripes. It was black, white, yellow, black, white, blue, black, white, red, and black, white, green, I think. So again, pretty much exactly the colors in Harry Potter.
Oh my God.
And then it does like bear some kind of. It's just like a way of them like further organizing the school and like how they split up the year groups and things like that. And like assign, like mentors or whatever it is. But there is like, like sports days and stuff like that. We do like compete to like, be the best house, and you do get stuff if you're like,
were you guys the best house?
No.
Were you a sport person?
So I have been obsessed with sports all of my life. I love sports, but I was a very, very chubby teenager.
Mm.
And so I did get stuck in goal when I played football, soccer for you guys. And it was like really, really embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like kind of, I remember very distinctly diving in goal, getting covered in mud and just sort of like being face down in mud, being like, what am I doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then this is fun actually. So, it gives you a very good insight into the English, PE system. So we call it PE, physical education. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you call it the same.
I once got a.
Imagine if I was like, we don't call it PE here.
Yeah, we don't do that here. I once got a chest infection and was off school for 2 weeks because my PE teacher, who was called Mr. Spackman, he left the school very unceremoniously, and we don't really know why, but he did wear the smallest gym shorts you could possibly imagine.
Love that.
And you could see things.
His balls?
You could see his balls. He was like. In his 70s.
Oh, no.
They're like wiriest, like old dude with a mustache.
Ew.
Called Mr. Spackman.
Not Mr. Spackman and his balls.
Fully. And he would literally like, and he would send us out in the pouring driving rain to go and play football for 2 hours. And I have asthma. I was like, this is a bad idea. And he was like, and I remember him making some vaguely referencing me being overweight and needing to do this.
Terrible.
And then, I was off school for like 2 weeks. Because I had like a full-blown chest infection. I'm pretty sure like half the class was like fully just ill at least the next three days.
Yes, of course.
Because it was really bad, so.
Was your school big? What was the size of it?
I don't know what would be considered big. It was big for a UK school.
I mean, some people in the States have gone to high schools that have had like 2,000 kids in a grade.
Oh, no, yeah. So this was like 1,500 in the whole school.
In the whole school. Yeah.
So that's like relatively big, I'd say, in the UK.
Yeah.
But then it's also like about the same girls in the girls' school around the corner, so.
Are these people that you went to school with your whole life? Or does it like get mixed up as you change schools?
Yeah, no. I think the only time I really kind of like pivot is when I go to college.
Yeah.
And that's when I go to Hayward's Heath. So this is in a place called Horsham. Fun fact about Horsham, it's called Horsham because it's exactly halfway between Brighton and London.
Mm.
And back in ye olden days, it's where people used to rest their horses if they were making the journey up to London.
I love that.
That's why it's called Horsham.
I'm obsessed with this girl on TikTok who lives in Brighton.
Okay, yeah.
And she
That's where most of my fam lives now.
Oh, love that. Yeah. She cooks crazy meals for she and her boyfriend, but she's so cute. And she was like, I'm taking the train from Brighton to London.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry for her. And it's not only a fun experience.
It's only 2 hours.
Yeah, but it's not a fun experience, that train.
Really?
Like, that train is fully, always busy, sweaty.
Yeah.
Like, late. It's not fun. It's it's doable, you know what I mean? I'd actually probably say it's less than 2 hours, I think. So it's probably like an hour and a half, maybe.
Was your school boarding?
No. I could have gone to a boarding school, and I really wish I had, because that was the other mixed school. Like the main, there was like kind of a few options, just in terms of where I was, you could pick. But no, it wasn't a boarding school. It was just it was an all boys, and I guess so not huge, but the general vibe of the school was like there was like the elite smart kids. They were in like set one, and then there was just like. the rest of us. You know what I mean? And that would be like, and we all just got lumped in together then in the, like, the lower sets. It was not fun.
What are sets?
So it's like, so in maths, you'd have like set 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if set 1 is the smartest kid, set 2 are the second smartest kids, all the way down to just like the thick idiots like me in set 4. But the problem was, I was heavily dyslexic, but right. I wanted to learn. So I was in set 4 with like all of the naughty kids who just right. couldn't be asked.
Right.
And so it basically meant that I just ended up with, like, I was never with any of my friends because I was like a nerd. And yeah. all the nerds were in set 1 and 2. So,
what do you mean you were a nerd? Extrapolate.
So I guess I found solace in comic books and, you know, fantasy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would run, I ran for like 2 years this kind of like war strategy game for my friends where I'd like, I'd get like a massive piece of paper and I'd draw out a map on it.
Like Risk?
Kind of, but I would basically then say to my friends, like, what army do you want to play? So you'd pick an army.
Okay.
Anything.
Like, okay.
Pick one. Just like, it could be
I don't know
unicorns
armies.
Or
oh,
it could
okay.
be,
like,
you know,
like the
Lego
pumpkin
men.
Army.
Yeah, a pumpkin army. So then what I would do is I would then give you like five, I would then give you Yay. Five like units, different uh-huh. types of pumpkin soldiers.
Okay.
And then you'd like buy them and trade with other people.
Like with real money?
No, like all like in-game currency, but like okay. I would be bribed. Like if my friends gave me sweets, I'd be like, yeah, okay, fine. Like,
in-game currency.
But it'd be so much fun because we'd get together at lunchtime and then just be like, do everyone's moves. And then I'd go away and whilst I'm sat bored at the back of a maths class, which is just like the teacher's just sat on their like, you know, phone or whatever, not right. paying attention. I'll just be sat at the back working out what everyone's moves are, trying to avoid getting bullied. But
Wait,
so that's what I did
so
most of the time.
Nice.
That was fun. That
did
was
you ever thing. Want? What did you when you were in high school? Did you want to like design games?
No. I pretty much always wanted to be a performer, but just crippling self confidence meant that I was like so far away from that dream. And then when I first got into secondary school, high school, I remember a pivotal moment for me in my kind of like high school life. I got cast in the this. I actually think this might be the time that I decided I wanted to be an actor. Mm. All through my primary school, there was my best friend was called Adam, Adam Jennings, and I don't know why I said his full name. I guess
why?
Shout out to Adam Jennings.
Shout out.
he was better than me at everything through primary school. He was like sporty. He was clever. He was, you know, music, whatever.
Not sporty and clever.
Oh, trust me. Just like he had everything, this guy. And all
Saying
the girls
clever.
Kind of had a crush on him. And it was like, ugh.
What a word we don't use often enough.
Clever. You don't use clever?
Not as much as I should.
Whoa. What would you say?
Smart. But I think there's a difference between being clever and smart.
Yeah, that's what. I would say the same. I think like, I'm smart. I don't think I'm clever.
I think clever. It's a bit more mischievous than smart. Clever is like, clever.
Do you
like it's
or you
more
have
like,
more charisma.
Or like you're putting like the pieces of a puzzle together or something like.
Oh,
that.
Oh, that's funny. I think I'd almost say it's the opposite way around.
Really?
I'd say like for me, like clever is like, oh, if I'm very clever, it's like I can like look at a math problem and just like work it out in my head, you know.
See,
whereas
I
if I'm
like
smart, it's kind of like street smarts. It's like logical.
Oh,
it's like
that's language barrier.
Yeah,
wow.
It's flipped
okay.
here.
Wow, there's so many differences between us.
This is actually super
you
hard
love
to
that.
Record, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this anymore.
So I have no idea what you're talking about.
So sorry. Let me try and put this in American terms. So my friend was very smart.
Yes.
And very sporty. Do you know sporty?
I do.
Okay, good.
thanks to Sporty Spice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thanks to England. Okay, good. And basically, it was like we got into secondary school, high school, and there was a school play happening. They were doing Oliver. And we all went up. We all auditioned for it.
Now, are these plays that you would do, are they co-ed? Do you bring in the girls' school to do it?
No. Oh. We'll just have dudes playing.
Okay.
Playing girls. We did not have anything to do with Malay.
Really?
We were really seen as, like, the naughty, like, just, like, it truly, like, what was crazier as well is, like, Malay definitely had more issues with the police than we ever did. Because the girls were mean to each other.
Really?
Like, we'd bully each other. The girls would set their hair on fire, like,
no.
like all the time. It was bad.
Girls setting hair on fire.
Malay was wild at times. And so I auditioned for this play, and my friend is like going up for Oliver, and I was like, obviously he's gonna get Oliver, whatever, it was fine. And then It was like one, we had to go in and they did the thing where they stick the cast list on the like drama school door.
Yeah, and everyone's gathered round, waiting anxiously to see
my mum,
what.
My mum sent me into school with a 20 pence piece so that I could use the phone, the like dial phone at the school to call her and let her know what I got. I walked up there. My friend didn't get Oliver, but I got the Artful Dodger, which was the role that I wanted.
Wow.
And I was like, from that moment on, I was like, cool, I think I'm going to be
from
an actor.
Because this is the like, only is
thing,
God.
This is the only thing that I've been quote unquote better at my friend than.
I mean, so, when that happens, yeah. It's like an aha moment.
Exactly. So that was it. So that was like the, so yeah, it wasn't like gaming or anything like that. It was definitely, it was always performing. Since I was young, I always used to love, like, you know, I'd go to a wedding or whatever and just be like, my mom would have to drag me from the dance floor because I'd just be, you know, spend the whole time
dancing.
And nothing's changed.
That's good.
So I think that was always the end goal. And it was just basically a process of me, you know, I still honestly feel like a process of me unpacking the sort of deep-rooted self-confidence issues that I have. But, you know.
Well, this is
which
why
was given
I do
to me
this,
a lot of through you know, that school.
This is why I'm addicted to talking about this time of our lives. Because I feel like it really, you know, determines much of how we feel about ourselves today.
Yeah.
Did you, when you went, so when you go to college, do you need to, like, pick a...
College?
Like a... focus?
Yeah. Oh, so in college you get A levels and you can pick up to 4 A levels. I think it's a minimum of 3 up to 4. I technically did 3 because I did a double in performing arts. So my performing arts was like a double course. So it basically just meant that I had double the amount of lessons during the week that I would did in my other two.
Right.
And the other two I did English literature and language and dance.
I love that.
So, and I remember...
What kind of dance?
Contemporary and ballet.
Cute.
Yeah. And I'd done like a bit of it. And basically, this is a fun story. I was supposed to be doing this thing called Classic Civilizations, which was a study of like ancient Greece and ancient Rome and stuff like that.
Well, I was going to say, it is classic.
It's very classic. Problem was, is that it was the same teacher for who did the literature part of my English class, and he hated me. This
Why?
Guy was a top class knobhead. Like, I don't know why. Like, I remember one time I said something smart in class, and he was like, oh, someone's had their Weetabix this morning, and I was like, what? Like,
isn't it interesting when you reflect on adults that are so smug with you?
Honestly,
as kids,
so mean. I handed in a piece of coursework 2 weeks early and got 0 marks on it, which I didn't think was possible because I thought if you put your name at the top you got a mark. And I was like, I handed it in 2 weeks early so he could give me feedback, and he was like, yeah, but it was so bad that I thought it was beyond help.
Oh my god.
I was like, dude, what?
So bad it's beyond
And then I also
help.
Had another teacher look over and they were like, yeah, this is not 0 marks. This is like not bad. You know what I mean?
This is not 0 marks. This is 2 marks,
yeah.
But it's not
it's,
0.
It's not nothing. You know what I mean? So anyway.
Oh my god.
I had one class with him and was like, I do not want to do this other class. Like, I can do 1 a week because I definitely want to do English literature and language, but I can't do this other class. So I was already thinking about changing. And then I was staying after college one night. And I was dancing to Michael Jackson because I taught myself over that summer how to dance like Michael Jackson because I love dance. And I was like,
moonwalk.
I'm going to... Yeah. Stuff like that. And then literally the dance teacher walked past and was like, hi, you're a straight male. Please, will you come and study dance?
And it
would be such a different energy for us. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then I remember going home and talk to my mom, and my mom was furious.
Really?
My mom
I
is
feel like
the
mom,
most.
As a mom, I would be like, oh my god, that's so nice.
That's so much makes so much more sense. Yeah, but I think my mom is like, my mom very much comes from like a, you know, have what we have kind of, you know, thing. She was already struggling with the idea of me being an actor, not because she didn't think I could do it, but she was just like, are you going to make a living out of this?
Well, yeah, of course that's a concern
you know,
for everyone. When you admit that you want to go into the arts, everyone is like,
are you sure?
And it's like studying this of all things. How are you going to do that? And then when you say, oh, by the way, I'm also going to tack on dance.
Yeah, well, no, I'm dropping Classic Civilizations. But I was like, what am I going to do with Classic Civilizations,
nothing.
Though, really? You know what I mean?
Nothing.
Am I going to become a historian? Absolutely not.
I mean, I do think, I think of all of the shit that we study, because this is kind of like us going into our beginning of college, us going like to the beginning of university.
University, college, yeah.
And like making these decisions for ourselves. And I talk about this all the time. I think it's like so silly that we expect anyone, whether you're 16, 17, 18, whatever, to know what you want
to
do.
To make the biggest commitment. Because like it takes like 10 years after that to like unpick that decision if you decide to go somewhere else.
I know.
You know what I mean? It takes such a long time if you like build up the requisite skills in another field. And do you know what I mean? Like effectively like start from scratch.
Yeah.
When you're like 25. It's like it's truly so hard.
You really do.
It's so hard.
Wow.
What did you pick as your, because you do like a major and a minor in university, right?
Yeah, I studied photography.
Nice. Okay.
I also like had self-confidence issues. Mm-hmm. Even though I was like very outwardly confident, I was inwardly.
Yes, that's 100%. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
So like I've recently did. Okay, here's a fun question. How did you feel transitioning to podcasting? Because I remember having this thing of like, I was absolutely okay with podcasting until about a year ago when like people really started to give a shit about my podcast. And then I was suddenly like, wait, that's me. That's not a character.
Right.
Ooh, like that feels weird. How did you like?
I started podcasting, honestly, in, 2013.
Dang, okay, yeah. So that's 10 years?
Yeah. And I had this podcast called Lady Lovin', that was on the HeadGum Network in the very beginning of the HeadGum Network's time. And it was weird because, like, this is such a tangent from high school, but...
It's my fault. Blame me.
No. But it was strange because, like, 10 years ago, it was not what it is now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
everyone and their mother has a fucking podcast now.
Truly everyone.
And they're so commonplace. Like, I vividly remember having a conversation with my sister about the concept of like literally being like, who even listens to podcasts? Like, that was the spirit of the conversation.
Yeah.
And my sister was like, yeah, like, I guess, but like, who listens to podcasts? And I remember thinking to myself, like, I want to be on the radio. Because, I loved Delilah growing up. I don't know if you know who that is. No, she's like a romance, like, do you know Delilah?
No.
She's like a romance, like, smooth talking, like,
oh,
like,
fun.
Yeah, like, you wanna dedicate a song to someone you love, like,
oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
She'll
we
talk
have, like,
about...
We have, like, Smooth FM and stuff in the UK, which is not similar.
And, of course, like, obviously, everyone wanted to be Howard Stern because, you know, he built his own little radio empire. But, yeah, I remember my sister being like, okay, like, start a podcast, like, whatever. And then the weird thing did happen, though, where with that podcast, that's when, like, people who I had gone to high school with or, like, grew up with started, like, listening to it and, like, reaching out to me being like, are you talking about me on this thing? You know what I mean? And I think that now that I've been doing it for so long, I'm much more measured about, like, the shit that I'm willing to talk about.
Sure, yeah.
Because, like, yeah, you're just, like, this on this fucking public platform.
Yeah, but
and,
it's
like,
so,
catch me in a bad mood or, like, a day where I really feel, like, fucking popping off.
Like a little spicy or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is good for the self-esteem to kind of nurture that high school piece of you or, like, that youthful piece of you that maybe didn't feel the confidence or didn't feel like you had a voice or a place or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I definitely felt at points, and I think everyone does, even if you're, like, the popular jock or whatever, there's a whole... Adolescence is the longing for... Belonging.
Yeah,
can you believe
that? That's beautiful. Put on a t-shirt.
I mean,
that's good.
That really is, isn't it?
Yeah, that was impressive.
I mean, I don't think it's just adolescence. I think being a human.
Yeah, sure.
But like, it's amplified when you're
I think as well because you add into the fact that when you're an adolescent or you're like, you know, you're confined to like where your parents live, what school you can go to.
Yes.
You know, so it's like as an adult, you have the freedom to just like. It's tough, sure, but you have the freedom to just pick up and go move to a different city and, you know, find a friend
well,
online.
You have true autonomy.
Yeah. So you can go and find people.
Yes.
You can go and find that belonging. Whereas, like, you just have to fit in, you know, with high school or whatever.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Or whatever.
Were you in a relationship in high school?
Yes. Yes, I was.
With the naughty girls at the Mildred School? What was the school called?
No. Malay.
Malay.
No. I wasn't. I didn't have a girlfriend at Mildred's. I have two mums. I grew up with two mums. And because of this, I have a crippling sense of anxiety when it comes to hitting on girls. Like, I just really, because I
wait,
I have
you grew
such
up
a...
with two moms that are together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you meant like I have a mom and a stepmom.
Oh no. Two moms that are together. Yeah. And because my mom was always like, you will be respectful to women. And
yeah.
I was like, of course, absolutely.
Yes.
So then as soon as I'm aware that I'm trying to I'm gonna try to chat someone up, I'm like also asking them if I'm being respectful, which is like the least attractive thing that you
can
do.
Yeah, you're like,
you know,
you're
what I mean?
Like hitting on them, and then
yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
But also, do you like this? Is this
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, is this okay?
For you?
Yeah. Fully. I asked a girl in university if I could kiss her. Like, do you know what I mean?
No, that's
yeah, this
sweet.
I'm like in my 20s. That's not, you know what I mean? She, like, we were like in her room and at a party, very drunk. It was like, anyway.
I will say there are ways, I think that is sweet, and I think that is nice, especially.
I think with the right person, maybe, but like this girl, not one of them. I just remember being at the same party and looking over at her and a group of friends, and they were all looking over at me and laughing. So I'm pretty sure, you know,
there was a time in college where a friend of mine was hooking up with this guy, and you know, he was kind of asking permission throughout, which was in 2008, honey, that was groundbreaking.
Yeah. A real nice change of pace.
But he was about to, like, unbutton her pants.
Uh-huh.
And he just goes, may I? And oh. and that, like... that is something that shook us to our core. I was like, he did not say, may I?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Someone's about to go finger blast you, and before that, he goes,
may I?
It's like, well, on second thought, no.
No, actually, you can't.
And it did. It
you
kind
may
of,
not.
It kind of made her be like, what?
Yeah, that's... I think that was it. That's exactly it. It was like every time I would do this, girls would just be like, oh, cool. Like, we had a vibe and it's completely gone.
Yeah.
It's super dead.
It's over.
So I'd had like, you know, like I'd had like a kiss at a party or something like that. But no, I didn't have a kind of long term girlfriend with anyone at like Malay. I think, and then it was in college, I think, actually. Now I think about it. So in that 2 year period before university that
but
I got my
college was co-ed.
Yes. So this was then the big revelation for
right.
me, because then I'm 18 years, no, oh, hold on, 16 years old.
Yes.
Suddenly, you know, sat in English next to this beautiful blonde girl who was just
okay,
like talking.
Stop talking about me.
Yeah, it's weird that you were at my college, honestly, but you know. You know, and she like actually wanted like have a, she actually wanted to have a conversation with me.
Right.
Whereas like the whole power dynamic between like boys and girls that I'd had up to that point was like, oh, I'll be friends with you, but kind of like I need you to know that like, you know, like that's not happening, or you know, it was
right.
very like that was like a part of the, you know, whereas for it to just be like a perfectly normal platonic relationship was like a weird thing for me to have.
I mean, of course.
So I didn't pay attention in college for, I think, the first like 2 months, where I was just like,
who needs it?
I'm just dealing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just fully existing and dealing right now. Yeah. With the fact that there's like these like beautiful women. I'm suddenly surrounded by all these beautiful women who actually want to talk to me.
Did people like, was it a thing? Because in the United States, you know, still to this day, but especially when I was in high school, a lot of homophobia.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Did people make it a thing that you had two moms?
Yeah. And in high school, it was like, I mean, I was one of three people of color in my year. So it's me and two brothers from India, I believe. And there was also a guy from China as well. And like, we stuck together like glue.
Yeah.
And then they found out I had two mums. So like, I was chubby with two mums, asthmatic and brown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, I was like a moving target was, you know, an understatement of the century. Like, there was literally a corridor that I had to walk through. And it was like, that was where all the year 11s would like hang out. Because they always have like a free period, and I had to like get through this corridor, and it was honestly like doing like Takeshi's Castle or like you know, like was like Ninja Warrior of just like being like, okay, here we go. It was like a dead sprint, and just like, if I only got tripped up three times, that's pretty good. Like, that's pretty God. You know what I mean? Like, that was pretty good going. Or like my head shoved in a locker, or you know.
You got your head shoved in a locker?
Oh, yeah. That was like pretty, I think this is pretty minimal stuff. Like, get your tie peanutted to the point where you fall over. Do you know what a peanut is?
What is getting your tie peanutted?
Oh, so a peanut is when you grab someone's tie and you yank it like as hard as you can. And then it turns the tie into like a peanut, like size knot at the top that you then can't undo. And then the teachers will have a go at you for not wearing appropriate school uniform. And you obviously get pulled to the ground, so.
Teachers know that someone did that to you?
They don't care. They don't care. Because half the kids that are bullying me are like the clever kids.
But not getting peanutted. That is so British. I'm sorry. Like,
it's a cutesy name.
True. I got peanutted today, Mom. I got peanutted. They turned my tie into a peanut.
I cannot believe that I've come on this podcast and you are turning my trauma into a bit.
I literally am. I literally
How dare
am.
You.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you did not gain any of the teacher's respect until you're like in year 10. Like, they just did not. They were like, "Who? What are you, underling?"
And let's just talk about this. Mm. Teachers are mean.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, like, there was, like, a handful who I had, like, I still remember, like, my French teacher. She was called Miss Chevalier. She was absolutely wonderful and amazing. My, like, drama teacher, Miss Sykes, I think she's a big reason as to why I actually met her at a car boot sale. I don't know if you have car boot sales. Is that
yeah,
thing?
That, I mean, I know what you mean when you say that, like a yard but sale. To translate that, yeah, that's, yeah. A boot is the trunk.
It's the trunk of a car, so, yeah, I actually met her at a car boot sale and was like, right before I went off to drama school, and like, hadn't seen her in years. I think she'd stopped being a teacher because she hated being at that school.
By the
and
way,
then
and
she
when
was
I
like,
say that teachers are terrible, I also acknowledge that they're terrible because they're
the
dealing
job
with
is,
terrible children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And their job is impossible.
Yes. And they're underpaid.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wildly. But yeah, I met her at a car boot sale and told her I was going to drama school, and she started crying. And her Aww. Husband turned around and goes, "Look, you do make a difference." And I was like, "Woof, that felt like you really needed that." And like,
yes.
That was not intentional. I was just telling you the good news.
Yes.
Like, but I'm kind of glad if that helped in some
Aww,
way.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Oh my God. Now I feel like this is the perfect time because knock, knock, knock. I think we're in the high school guidance counselor's office.
Oh, hi. Hi.
In this section of the show, you get to say fuck you to someone or to apologize to someone. Mm. But I really feel like we're going to be saying fuck you to people.
Okay, we can say fuck you to people. That's fine.
Or unless you feel like you need to apologize.
I don't think I owe anyone anything.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I feel like it should just be a bunch of fuck yous.
Yeah, okay. Is there like a format for this, or do you
just
jump
rectify
in with
the wrongdoings of your high school past?
Sure. So,
you know, if there's anyone that you think of, like, you know, I can do one if you
do
want to.
Do
one,
yeah, 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 go for it.
Who do I want to fuck over today? You know, fuck you to this girl who pretended to be my friend.
Oof.
And then ended up dating my ex-boyfriend.
Oof.
And then, years later, still pretended to be my friend.
Ooh.
And it's just like, girl, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You know what I mean? And like, I know.
You also can't take a massive shit on the cake and then expect me to eat it.
Yeah, like, and it's like I know what's going on. What are you thinking? You know what I mean? And it's just like,
Is there a world in which you think that, this is still, if anything makes it worse, do you think there's a world in which she's like genuinely completely oblivious to that, like,
no.
Her behavior?
She's clever.
Okay, right, sure.
She's clever. But the thing is, now it's like, she's a mother. She's grown.
Yeah.
We follow each other online.
Okay. Oh, wow, okay, cool. So you're not going to drop it.
So don't clip this one.
Yeah.
So don't clip this. But honey, if you're listening, that's all I'm gonna say. And for those that were listening that didn't see that, I was tapping my noggin.
Extremely funny. I hope you enjoy the big reunion barbecue you have later on today.
You could not pay me money to attend a fucking reunion barbecue.
There must be a number.
You need to pay me.
There must be a number.
There is.
Like, how much? Come on, like $100,000.
Yeah. Cool. I was gonna say 100.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Right.
I'd go for 100K.
Hey,
you know what? Feeling generous, I'd go for 60.
Okay. Cool. Aww. I think I'd do 10, but that's mostly because I feel like I've hit a level of success in my life where I would get some enjoyment out of going to one now. Because I'd be like, oh, sorry, I just got back from LA.
Yeah.
I work out there now from time to time.
Yeah, I'd go with my tits fully out. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that I'm so hot.
Yeah.
Coming from the Emmys.
Fresh off the Emmys carpet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like I'd subtract from the amount you have to pay me just based on, like, the enjoyment I'd get out of getting to, you know, rub it in their faces that they're still in the same hometown and I'm, you know, I'm in LA now.
If they're paying for my airfare and put me up, 60K. Okay. I still say.
60K.
That's going to be $40 to fly you and put you up? Or 40,000? No, I'm saying, the difference between 60 and 100?
No, I'm not saying difference. Oh, I'm saying, okay, I would do it for 60K. I see. And then I'd want, obviously, Delta One seats.
Of course.
I want, you
full
know,
lay down.
Full lay down. No, I need to get my rest.
Yeah, you got to turn up looking hot. Like,
exactly.
You can't turn up with bags or whatever. That's not going to work. That is not going to work. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so who do you want to fucking light up?
There was a kid called Jacob who,
of course, spelled with a C or a K.
I think a yeah. K?
Really? That's demonic.
I do you know what? I have no idea. I truly
Let's
couldn't tell
C.
you.
Let's say a C.
He systematically throughout high school, so we were in the same set four class for everything, and he was a ringleader of these two, and I can't express to you, like, the biggest dumbasses you've ever met in your life. Like, to them, I harbor no grudge. They were just thick cows following the mother cow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were just like, they had no clue. They were just these dull people who just didn't have an original thought in their entire lives. But he was like actively vindictive, like, towards me, to the point where, like, he would know all of the time, like, he'd know when I have to be in, like, certain places and would, like, be able to find places to, like, corner me to, like, yeah, just, like, throw something at me, just, like, spill something on me so I had to, like, just walk around with, like, stuff spilt down my white shirt, knowing full well that, like, I couldn't afford to, like, buy a new white shirt or whatever, you know what I mean?
What a fucking dick.
Yeah, so absolutely fuck this guy. Like, he was
How did you
awful.
Get through that?
I think that a lot of it was down to my friends. Like, they, like, would very much, like, rally around, like, you know, we'd kind of do it all for each other. Because, like, I felt like we all kind of had our own Jacob, you know what I mean?
Did,
like,
you ever punch any of these fuckers in the face?
So, Jacob is the only person I've, like, in, like, high school or whatever that I ever, like, did anything. And I got in so much fucking trouble for it. It was insane.
With the school?
Yeah. Because basically he cornered, this was in year 11. So I'd been putting up with 5 years of this nonsense. And he cornered me in the back of a maths class. And I pushed him so hard that he went over the table as my math teacher walked in.
Well,
and I got suspended for 2 days. And really? I was like, this is a joke.
But there needs
to be. I remember being in like my head teacher's office, whatever, being like, this guy has systematically, and I get like one piece of revenge. I push him one time.
See, this is what I'm saying. I'm like, there needs to be justice for justice. You know what I mean?
Fully, fully.
I'm like really saying the hot takes today.
You're coming in like the t-shirt really factory is just like going right now. Justice for Justice has just been printed.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know, if I'm a teacher and I know that, I'm sure all the teachers knew what a hard time you're going through.
Yeah.
I would be like, yeah, fuck that kid. Like, push him over the desk.
Yeah,
like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Or I'd just pretend to not
see it.
The what?
Yeah, well, no, this is. That particular teacher famously had like the laziest eye in the world, and you couldn't tell whether he was looking at you in class, but you saw that fine.
Well, let's just say he didn't see the incident properly.
That's why I probably should have said that, but I was too nice. And honestly, the thing is, I just went off in the head teacher's office being like, this guy's a prick.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, honestly, now I look back at it, I was so like hot-blooded from doing like the one masculine thing I'd done in my entire life leading up to that point. I probably went in a little too spicy on my head teacher.
Yeah, and they were like,
being like, this fucking guy! Like, you know, my head teacher was like, whoa!
Take two days off.
Like, yeah. I told my mum that. I think she took me to, like, we went to the zoo or something. Like,
we had a great.
But I told my mum what happened. She was like, I'm not going to punish you for this.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
Tevi, what is our classmate today?
Today we have Haley writing, and she has two fuck yous.
Okay. Hi, Haley.
So Haley says, hey, Greta and guest. For a little context, I went to a small private school in Memphis. They call it an independent school, which sounds non-religious, but rest assured we went to chapel twice a week. This school was filled with rich kids with asshole parents. The school building looks like a mixture of a Four Seasons resort and a Hogwarts, just so you can get a visual.
Wow.
That sounds...
very American, honestly.
Yeah, it sounds like something that would, like, is, like... was built in like the late 90s.
Yeah. When they're like, they did, whoever built it went on a trip to the UK, saw Oxford, and was like, I'm going to do this in the US.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we're going to have good amenities.
And we're going to have a fountain.
Yeah, exactly.
And a chapel.
Yeah, at a chapel.
I started at the school in eighth grade as a transfer student from public school. This is important to the story.
That already sounds tough, honestly.
So, first fuck you is to Thomas and Todd. You thought it was funny to tell me that I have quote unquote thunder thighs and quote unquote baby bearing hips in 11th grade. First of all, bitches, I was a very skilled soccer player. So yeah, my thighs were strong. Second of all, fuck you. The second fuck you.
I love when people go, second of all, fuck you.
Yeah.
Straight to the point. The second fuck you is to Mr. Morris. You gaslit me and treated me differently than the other students. All those Saturday school punishments you gave me really helped instill the idea that some people are just inherently bad. I would often get Saturday school for dress code violations. Meanwhile, Mr. Morris turned his head to students who dressed exactly like me, but whose parents were donating money to build the new aquatic facility, new lacrosse field, etc. So they all got a pass. Lastly, Greta, I love you. Have been a fangirly since Lady Lovin'.
Wow.
Oh,
see?
There you go.
Well, thank you for writing in. Fuck you to all of those people.
Fuck you, those guys. I mean, look, Mr. Morris, he's like, clearly he can't actually punish those other kids, but just don't be an asshole and punish any of them. Like,
see,
there's just no need.
That's what I'm saying. Justice for justice, honey. This is inequitable.
Like, I get it. You're working within a system, my man. You want to get your, what is it, aquatic center or some shit built?
He's
like,
getting kickbacks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, fine. Get your kickbacks, but don't feel like you have to then have some sort of weird righteous turn to make up for it.
I know that I've spoken about this a million times, whether it be on this podcast, my other two podcasts before this, whatever, but as it pertains to the thunder thighs of it all, I went to a boarding school for my freshman year of high school, and there was a boy there and I had huge tits. I ended up getting breast reduction, but like, there was a boy there who literally pulled me aside, and he was like a popular lacrosse boy.
Yeah.
And he pulled me aside and he told me that I wouldn't, to like not worry, but that no boys thought I was hot now, but that I would be hot by the time I was 40.
40?
Imagine a 14-year-old boy saying this to you.
No. So don't worry, you got 26 years and you're going to be...
Yeah.
What? Yeah. 26 years?
Boys are, like, for the most part, straight boys at 14 are actually the dumbest human beings on earth.
I could not agree with you more. Yeah.
Like, I do believe actively, that to be true.
Actively thinking about myself at 14 makes me feel unwell.
Yes.
Yeah.
As it should.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, look, it's fine. Growth it's okay. has happened. You know what I mean?
And you sound like you're probably more emotionally mature than most people.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But it didn't mean that I wasn't, you know, trying to desperately, like, fit in so that my ass whoopings weren't, you know, worse or I wasn't more singled out for stuff.
God,
you know?
These fucking assholes.
I think it's a systematic of going to an all-boys school, honestly. It was just like there was just too much testosterone like kicking around that if you weren't like if you hadn't hit puberty yet, like it's that's also the wildest thing is that like everyone in year 11 was hitting puberty, so just even on a strength basis,
yeah,
it's like this is like me trying to run up to like an NFL player and like trying to tackle him. It was just like no point
thing, yeah, where you see like
when they people start to fill out, it's like holy there's nothing I can do here.
But I will say like the kids now are different. Like, I see, because, like, I feel like we know way more about, like, working out, and, like, protein and, like, regimens and, like, macros and all of this shit. And, like, there are teenagers that, like, some look like they're, you
42
know.
42 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on?
And they're, like,
on?
Built like a brick shit house. And you're just like, how is that
There were
possible?
Always, like, two boys like that in every class, I feel, where it was like, yep, and that's Johnny. He looks like he's, you know, he looks like he's 35 and he can, like, go to the liquor store and, like, use a fake ID and get away with it.
Yeah,
and then there were the boys
yeah.
that truly looked like they were, like, little angel baby cherubs.
Oh, that was fully me.
But it was... now I feel like everyone, and maybe this is just me feeling old, but when when I see TikToks or whatever, and when I see these, you know, I love the videos of high seniors being like, I'm Greta and I'm going to University of Utah.
Oh, these
like,
are
go,
unhinged.
Whatever.
I can't express to you. As someone from the UK, these are wild.
I know.
When they sat there and they do not speak English and they're like, hi, my name's Darren and I'm from here to MCU. And you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Like, hey, I'm Ashlyn and I'm going to University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. Excuse me, you said, I think 14
I know,
things in that
it's
sentence.
So fast. But like when I see these kids, I'm like, whoa, I'm like, all of you guys look so fucking old.
Yeah.
I feel like we just look dumb.
I think like there's definitely with the invention of like social media and stuff, you know, I'm always thinking to myself, like I do a lot, I've started doing teaching and stuff at like university level. And like, I just like, I feel so sorry.
Wait, you're a teacher?
Like drama and stuff like that. Like just like workshops and things, you know, or like a bit
you're
of
like
dance
a,
or whatever.
You're like an onion.
Explain?
So many layers.
Oh, okay, fine. I was like, I make people cry.
What kind of dance are you teaching?
So I'll still teach some contemporary and ballet, and then but I'm always like so just like, oh man, I just couldn't be your age with like all of this stuff going around, because it's just like
I would have loved to see high school you getting into dance.
I think it was a pretty big transformation for me, honestly. Yeah. Like that's where a lot of my confidence came from, and like that's where, like, I finally learned how to, like, you know, I started getting, like, a little bit more confidence, like, around the opposite sex. Because, like, I had to be. I was, like, one of two dudes in that class.
And also, it forces you to, like, be in touch with your body in a way that's, like, very different than
most
sports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so, yeah, it was definitely, like, a big learning curve. And I don't know if I'd say, like, I sort of became a man in dance, but I feel like I kind of figured out, like, more who I actually was or wanted to be through doing dance.
If you could go back in time and give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
I think I would probably want to I don't know. I feel like it's hard to say like what's the one piece of advice, because I'm always very much like in the headspace of like I'm quite happy with how things have turned out generally.
Great.
You know, so I feel like and everything, you know, it had its purpose in the sense that like taught me lessons, whatever. I'd probably just like give him a high five and tell him he's cool.
Oh, that's so nice. You know what
I
mean?
Like, cause I feel like if my high school self saw me now, he would think that I'm like sick. You know what I mean? So I'd probably just be like,
oh, if my high school self saw me now, they would also think I was cool.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I'd probably just like go up to him and be like, dude, you're going to be good. High five. Give him a hug.
My high school self, though, would also be like, you fucking dumbass loser. Get your shit together.
My high school self would be like, oh, cool. Can we, like, go play some board games? I'm like, yeah, okay, let's go. Let's go play
my high school
games.
Self would be like, bitch, you still haven't finished that fucking thing you've been talking about? Dumbass.
The funny thing, actually, my high school self would definitely be like, oh, so, like, did we make it to Hollywood? And I'm like,
Kind of, yeah. Like, you're like, well, we see the sign.
We see the sign from the podcast studio. But what? But did you say
you're
podcast?
Like, don't worry about,
it. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
You said you went to prom.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to know what you wore.
So this was finished. So we did our like prom. This was like, yeah. So year 11, so right before I go to college. I'm starting to feel myself a little bit more and I'm trying to, and I've sort of developed through the last few years of secondary school, this kind of like funny man persona where I'm sort of like, oh, I'm really starting to fit in now. I'm getting bullied like a lot less because I'm like, oh, like none at all because I'm like kind, not like the class clown, but like the school spokesman type thing, you know, like all like the assemblies and stuff like that. I'd like jump up on stage with a mic and like, oh, like compare the evening and things like that. And so I was like, I need to go something big and bold. And so I rocked up to my high school prom. I got my mate's dad's Mini that was souped up. He had like a souped up Mini, which had like a V10 engine or something. It sounded ridiculous with all these like under thingy lights and whatever. It was like, I rocked up, sat on the, it was a convertible Mini, sat on the back, wearing a like neon pink waistcoat with a bright pink cravat and aviators and cornrows.
Wow.
It was a real departure from me looks wise compared to what I
sounds
it
great.
Was like I looked like baby Ludacris. Like just turning up to like a random English hall.
I love it.
It was an obscene look.
Did you have a date?
Yes. I think it was a very last minute situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was mostly because I was like not organized though, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like most of the time, I got around
to
asking people.
You were busy like putting the outfit together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had other
look.
Stuff to worry about.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Getting the
I
mini.
Was sort of like very I was definitely just still in a place where I was like, I don't know if I like, no, I want to do girls.
Yeah. Right,
I
want
to, I don't know if I want that like period of my life to start yet. You know what I mean?
I feel that.
I was like still very terrified of women. So
wow, I'm so impressed by that.
You know, being terrified of women?
No, just like, like I wish like if I could go back in time and give my high school self some advice, and I've said this a million times before, I'd be like, don't have boyfriends.
Sure.
Like sure. You know, make out, do whatever you're going to do. But like, it's just like
the I did
emotional
a lot of that, yeah.
hell that I went through in high school romance was torturous.
Yeah,
and I
yeah,
wish
yeah,
that
yeah.
I could have just gone back and been like, you know, you don't need them. You don't need that.
Yeah.
Just like,
I did a lot of the same thing where I was like, you know, little like, ooh, spin the bottle stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And then like got to college, got into a long-term relationship, committed through most of university or whatever. And then so I was like, okay, cool. I did one big heartbreak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, sweet, that was after uni. I'm done now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a couple years later, married. And I got a child on the way, so, you know.
My God, you do?
I do.
You're gonna be a father?
I'm gonna be a dad, which is kind of crazy.
Wow, mazel tov.
Thank you very much.
When is the child due?
January.
Wow, soon.
Soon.
It's gonna be an Aquarius.
6 whole days before my birthday, so Capricorn, I believe.
Oh. I love a Capricorn too.
Both me and my wife. This is the weird thing. My wife's also 6 days away from me.
Huh.
So my baby, if it's born on the day it's due, it'll be 6 days before me and 12 days before my wife.
Wow.
Yeah, little family synergy there.
Love that.
I know. It's pretty impressive. So that's what I mean. I'm pretty happy.
How did you meet your wife?
I was touring a theatre show for the National Theatre called War Horse.
Uh-huh. Which, I know of this show.
Yeah, so the Spielberg made a movie out of it, but it's the most successful like national theater show that they've ever made. And it's a very famous. There's lots of pictures of Joey, which is the puppet horse, like meeting the Queen and like, you know, it, like the Sydney Opera House and the Great Wall. And you know what I mean? Like, and so I did. That was like my first big drop out of drama school. I got that and it was a 19 month tour of the UK. We did over 500 shows.
Oh, my God.
And I was fully ready to enter my slot era. I was like, yes, this is it. I'm committing. I've been just like too nice and in my feelings all this time.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like, it's officially over. I'm in the game now. 2 months in, I do a show in Liverpool. I make my wife and I'm extremely happy. I never look
so
back.
Nice.
So yeah, my slut face lasted for about a month.
As long
which,
as it should.
Of which I was far too tired to even think about going out. So, you know.
I love that.
So yeah, that was fun.
Did you have a favorite snack in high school?
Haribo Tangfastics, probably. That was like the, you know, staying up all night watching anime or playing Yu-Gi-Oh or whatever with my best mate, we would just pound Tangfastics.
Yeah.
It's probably part of the reason why I was chubby.
But, you know,
I don't regret anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I got in shape I got in shape a couple of years ago and was like, sweet, I did my six-pack era for a bit. That also lasted about a month.
Whatever, but I'm like, did it.
That's what I mean. I'm just like, I have to just do it one time and then I can dip out. I'm fine and I'm happy now.
Just knowing that you can.
Yeah, that's how the real strength is. That I could have a six-pack if I wanted one.
And you choose not to.
I choose to eat another Philly cheesesteak sandwich because they are phenomenal and they don't really exist in the UK.
They don't.
And every time I come to LA, I'm like, yes. That and Mexican food. Oh, so good.
That's the best.
So good.
Is there an item in your childhood bedroom that's like prized to you?
Is there an item? I would say if it's not my PlayStation, like just as we go up through the generations, my PlayStation has always been my like, you know, prized item. If it's not that though, it's probably, I'm probably going to say, do you guys have IKEA out here?
Of course.
Yeah. So there was there's like a really like stock footage kind of like print that you can buy in IKEA of this like blonde lady with like red lips doing like the shush thing.
Mm.
And I had like that above my bed and I remember feeling like, I'm so fucking cool.
It's very like pimp.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that word?
Yeah.
No.
Can you bleep that?
Just kidding. You can say it. You
can I?
I think it's
for
fine.
The time. That was a for very, the time, that was a word for the time.
That was a word for the time.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we had a lot of songs. We had Nelly's Pimp Juice. Remember that song?
Yeah. P-I-M-P?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was that word was like.
In the time
capsule. In the time capsule.
Yeah,
it's in the time. It is in the time capsule.
And I think given all the ways that I've described myself in this, pimp is about as far away from me.
I don't
me.
Know. That's kind of a swaggoo, you know, little look you had
I think that, though, that like poster really, like that was like one of the first things that wasn't like a 300 poster
right.
or a picture of like Heath Ledger's Joker or something,
right.
you know, that I had on my wall where I was like, this just kind of like looks cool and is the vibe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It is the vibe.
And so I think that was the start of my home decoration era.
Were your mom's just like, sure, go off?
Yeah, I think my mom's were probably like, that's pretty hot. Like,
yeah.
I, honestly, it's so wild growing up with two moms. I remember sitting down to watch X Factor, if you know what X Factor is. We sitting down to watch X Factor, and I've never made a joke like this before in my life, and I will never make one ever again, especially not in the presence of my mom. Where it was the year that Ollie Murs won, I think, or was like came second or something. And it, like, they often do this thing in like the semifinals where like a famous person, like a famous singer, will come out and duet with them on stage.
Right.
And I just remember Rihanna came out and I was just utterly transfixed.
Yeah.
And I literally, I've never said this again and I never will. It was the most disrespectful thing I ever said, but my mum instantly made me pay for it because I was like, I would. And my mum went, yeah, same. Oh, I was like 16. I absolutely died. I was like, oh no, no, I can't process that. Yuck.
But here's the thing about Rihanna. We all would.
Yeah, of course.
The world would.
Of course, but I
can't
hear my mom.
You don't want to hear it, I know.
And I know that my mom's like not being ironic or anything. Do you know what I mean? There's like very legitimate interest there.
She's being very
straight up. She's very,
very
serious. And that's weird. It was weird to me at 16. I couldn't process that.
Did you have a senior superlative? Did they do that at your school?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was. It's super boring, but I'm pretty sure it was Most Likely to Be Famous.
Well, that's not super boring.
I don't think there's anyone else who, like, more than 10 people know about.
There you go.
So maybe I count. I don't know.
I think you do. Maybe in my book, maybe in this book, in the Senior Superlatives book, you count.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you so much for coming on my show. What was mine?
Yeah.
Mine was Most Likely to Be in a Gospel Choir. I've covered it so much on this podcast that people are like, shut up.
Okay, cool.
So I'll tell you offline.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we're going to end this episode right now and I'm going to find out this story because wild.
Where can all of my listeners listen to you?
Oh, yeah. Because
you have like 9 million podcasts all on HeadGum.
I have two podcasts on HeadGum. There is the Three Black Halflings podcast, which is where I started, which is a nerdy podcast where we talk about all things diversity and inclusion within fantasy because it's not... medieval times didn't just happen in Europe. And then I'm also doing a show called The Rotating Heroes Podcast, which is with anyone who's a fan of Not Another D&D Podcast or Dimension 20 will know Zach Oyama. And that is a show that I do with him. We've literally today we're recording the first like new episodes with me being the dungeon master. So I'm going to go and run off after this and panic.
Be the dungeon master.
Panic about that. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well.
But thank you so much for having me on. This has been a blast.
I'm so thrilled to have had you on, and I'm so thrilled to do this show.
It's a great
and
show.
And thank you to everyone that listens, and, you know, I don't think I have anything else to say.
Great.
I think I'm just going to say stay cool.
Nice.
Never change.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, ciao.
That was a HeadGum podcast.